This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eshbaugh and Wayne Holt from 919 Beer. We are on location today. If you hear that ambient noise in the background, we are at Watts and Ward in downtown Raleigh with a fantastic cocktail list. They have a beer list too. And our listeners are probably wondering, what the hell are we doing at Watts and Ward for the beer podcast today? Adam, why are we here today?
It's a departure from the beer scene.
Ah.
You know, we just did a coffee.
Do people like those podcasts? I don't even know.
I don't know.
We're trying to broaden the horizons of not only ourselves, but of our listeners.
Also, we have four microphones tonight, so we're celebrating.
It's a big night. I finally got
cocktails.
The pandemic's drawing to a close, and I finally got my fourth microphone back. I'm very excited about this.
Wayne, y'all get to hear more from me tonight.
Wayne and I don't have to share microphones. We're just sharing a cigar tonight.
No. Not a good idea.
That's right.
Shout out to Haas Hops. Three locations. They got two in Raleigh, one out in Pittsburgh. They have lots of beer. I don't know if they have cigars, but they have lots of beer. 24 beers on tap. They got the mixes that you can do. You can order online. They got curbside pickup. By all means, drop on by too, because they got a great selection that you can just kind of put together and a great staff that can help you find what you need. So check them out. House of Hops. Again, two locations in Raleigh, one location out in Pittsburgh. So we thank them for sponsoring the 919 Beer Podcast. No, so the reason why we're at Watson Ward is because we're being joined by Jeff Amendola of Amendola Family Cigars. And Jeff, what's up, man? Thanks for coming
by. What's up? Thanks for having me.
And thanks for bringing the cigars, too.
My pleasure.
My dad would be...
I told him I was giving him drinks tonight, so he's like, yeah, whatever you need.
My dad would be laughing at me right now.
He lured me in.
My dad's been trying to get me to smoke cigars for, like, the longest time now, and I'm like, nah, Dad, I'm good.
Because I was thinking earlier you should have brought him. He would enjoy a good cigar, right?
You never would have talked. I was looking out for you. That fourth mic would have gone to him,
he'd
not you.
Me why I'm wearing orange. He'd have thought I was a dolphin thing, so we'd have talked dolphins for a while.
Thing. Yeah, there'd be that too. That'd be that too. Now, so my dad, you know, for those who might not be aware, my dad is from Cuba.
Yeah.
And still has access to a couple Cuban cigars from time to time, but he's always trying to get me to smoke. And I've told him, I just know if I can do it anymore. Plus, you know, my wife hates the cigar smoke and all that stuff. So I've actually looked forward to tonight because I'm like, I have no excuse. I get to smoke a cigar tonight.
We're on a great patio.
Oh, yeah.
Good drinks. Good cigars.
Let's actually start
good
with...
good soundtrack, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I'm enjoying the soundtrack.
I'm digging it.
Oh, and the company. We're also joined by Adam's better half tonight, Miss Bridget.
They got dressed up for tonight, too.
It's
like they did. They left Fuquay. They're like, they're ready.
We're going out.
We don't get out much
on a Wednesday
these days.
I know. So we're at Watson Ward because before the pandemic, you were doing weekly cigar nights out here?
We were actually doing the first Wednesday of every month.
Oh, okay. Yeah. First Wednesday of every month.
But then they started actually carrying the whole Amendola line
of
cigars at the bar. Yeah.
Okay. And how did that... I know you'll occasionally do some things with Adam over at Mason Jar as well. So how did those nights go? And, you know, how are we looking forward to those nights coming back now that things seem to be kind of easing up?
Yeah, I mean, in my experience, I like to call them pop up events, right?
Sure.
Find a cigar friendly bar, restaurant, brewery, and set up and do what I love to do, and hopefully people come out and love what I do. But we've had great feedback. I mean, great response. Watson Ward has been awesome. We would have live music out here up on the little terrace.
Yeah,
I would come out and roll cigars. The outdoor bar would be set up. It was a good time. Same with that
Mason Jar.
Thank you. Sorry. The Mason Jar.
That place down there.
Never heard of it. I'm there at least twice.
He does pretty well when he comes
to
the
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's one of my best events, honestly.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
I look forward to it. At least, what, two times a quarter? More?
Yeah. I mean, you come out. So we have a monthly cigar night.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why I'm not there monthly.
Well, you got to take care of the Ashworths down there, too.
Ashworths guys hook it up pretty well.
They're old school Fuquay.
But we started, actually, K-Mac. Full disclosure.
K-Mac. Yeah, shout out to K-Mac.
Got
me
in touch with you because I wanted to do an event. This was back years ago. And I wanted something for Father's Day, and that's how we got in touch. So you started.
But didn't we meet?
He reached out to us like the original Beer Econo.
You were on stage at the Deep
pack for one of the you were food and beer cigars for one of the beer experiences. Food, yeah,
every year.
So that's the first
past
time.
7 years.
Were you not there?
I wasn't. I don't remember
okay,
that.
Okay, so yeah, I met you there then, me. But. You started off with another name.
It was Bull City Cigars.
Bull City Cigars, that's right.
That's his left arm tattoo.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he reached out. Okay. Actually, going way back, he reached out for the, like, when we started Beer-A-Cana.
To do the fest.
Yes.
And he wanted to do it, but because we can't allow
smoking
there. Can't smoke
in Holly Springs.
It just, I was like, oh, man, that's
really
tempting.
I grew up in Holly Springs on a tobacco farm, and you can't smoke at the park.
You know. But, yeah, so fast forward to now, Jeff does several bigger events. Like we have a Father's Day event. You come and roll.
Yeah, every year. For it's us. Been you're the past couple of years.
Yeah, you're going to come out for Cinco de Mayo on a Wednesday night.
I love going to the Mason Jar, honestly. The crowd there, like your loyal people, are now my loyal
are
people.
Are your loyal people, that's good. Exactly.
They look forward to it, and I love doing that. So
that's great.
As far as the future goes, yeah, we're getting back,
back
in the swing.
So let's actually talk about the past then.
Yeah.
How did you get into this?
I mean, you know, initially, I just fell in love with cigars.
Okay.
Right? Where I grew up in New York, there was a cigar factory on Arthur Ave in the Bronx. Little marketplace.
Okay.
Like, you walk in there, and there's, like, espresso bar, fresh cheese, there's meats hanging. If you walk back into time.
The classic. It's classic New York.
Classic New York, yeah. Old school, but there was...
I've seen A Bronx Tale.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
stop.
It's like that, and okay. It was filmed on that street.
Okay.
Where's your Yankees tattoo?
Huh?
You got a Yankees
tattoo?
Yeah. Yeah, baby. I knew I liked you from the start.
That's on the upper chest, left
love
shoulder.
We'll edit that out in post.
No, we won't.
Good thing it's not on video.
Now, you're not a rare, like, Yankees Jets fan, are you?
No, Yankees Giants.
Okay. No, yeah. I know a few, actually.
Well, my cousin's where he's Mets Jets.
Well, no, you're either or.
I know. That's
but actually,
thing.
I take that back. One of my coworkers is a Giants and Mets fan.
See, that's rare.
Because his family didn't care about football.
Okay.
So because his family didn't bring him up with football, he was like, well, screw it. I'm going to root for the team that's actually better. So he became a Jets. He became a Giants fan. But
typically
the family was a Mets.
It's Yankees, Giants,
yep.
Jets, Mets, which is
Yeah, my old co-host Adam is a Mets, Jets fan. See? Of course, he's a recovering Jets fan, he says.
Yeah, well,
but of course, that's never true.
They have their own issues.
I know. So you're in New York.
Yeah.
You got this classic New York thing going on.
Right. So I walked in there and I saw them rolling cigars. I was 16, 17.
Yeah.
I just thought it was the coolest thing in the world. Watching these guys sit there, roll cigars. They were smoking inside at the time, too. So
sure.
Just that whole ambience and vibe captivated me. But long story short, I started smoking shortly after that. Not a lot, but I was experimenting with cigars.
Sure.
Fell in love with it. I moved to North Carolina. I was 25 at the time in the police academy. And that's where my love for cigars really started to grow.
Mm-hmm.
Where I was doing, once a week. Weekends, after training, light up a cigar as my therapy. Then I had the crazy idea that I could make a business out of it.
Now, before this, you were in the force.
Yeah.
Okay, so you...
And during.
So, okay, so you were in New York, you were a police officer?
I started in North Carolina.
Okay, you started in North... Okay, gotcha. And then while this is all going on, you're in the police force, and you got cigars on you?
I got cigars on me. I started making cigars in the Bronx originally with the same guys that I'm making. Then I learned how to roll cigars myself, but it got to the point where I was driving around with cigars in the trunk of my car, my police car, because everyone knew me. They started calling me like the cigar guy, the cigar boss, and kind of became this thing. So I would get...
Cigar boss.
Yeah, like
That's
the
great.
Cake boss. But
right.
I would get all these texts the night before in the morning, so I would load up my trunk and... We'd all smoke like 3 o'clock in the morning on night shift.
That's great.
Whatever. And then actually the brand started picking up, so I was getting wholesale accounts and had to fulfill orders. I was like a one-man show at the time. So,
So you decided to leave. Do this
full-time. 2016, I left as a detective.
Okay.
And I went full-time.
It's interesting. Well, real quick, shout out to Steven over at Mr. Pompadour. He's an ex-detective out of Wilson.
Okay.
Wilson County, and he has like a similar story arc to you in that you get to that point, you've seen some things, you get burnt out, you're doing cigars, he was doing haircuts and shaves.
Right.
So he's like, well, all right, everybody loves it, so I'm going to do this myself. And now he's carved out a really nice spot for himself over at Mr. Pompadour.
Yeah.
So you get to this point where you're ready to do this because you're just burnt out, and now you've grown to a factory that's outside of the States because you were rolling in Durham for a while there, right?
Yeah, we were making cigars... underneath the coffee shop on 9th Street.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool, actually. We rented out an office down there. Then actually built out a lounge on the backside of that building. The landlord let us enclose the carport. So you could actually get a cigar that we make, go out there and smoke. We put AC and had fans. It was cool. Really cool little vibe. But that lasted. We were making cigars in Durham for about 4 years, I guess, from 2014, 3 years, 2017.
Where were you sourcing the tobacco leaf?
So, actually,
that was a Portlandia question.
Yeah.
I need to see the portfolio. Where was it sourced?
Right. Yes. Cigars.
Well, originally, actually was dealing with some Cuban guys in Miami.
Oh.
They were
do you know them, Joe?
Tobacco importers.
It wasn't like La Gloria Cubana, was it?
No, there were
some other dudes. Sure. The way you're shaking your head right now.
Kramer went lining up for you, wasn't
right. These dudes are from Hialeah. They weren't from Miami.
You're right.
See? All right. See?
You're right.
There we go.
One of the guys I work with now is in Hialeah. He has a cigar factory in Nicaragua.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so these guys are bringing in tobacco and warehousing it and selling it by the pound.
Yeah.
So I found
that's that Hialeah ingenuity coming through, you know?
That was really interesting. We did make one cigar with North Carolina Brightleaf tobacco.
Okay.
We called it the Brightleaf. I would love to bring
was
that
was it red back. Like the hot dogs?
No, it's gold.
No.
Don't you know anything about tobacco? You're
come
in fear.
Come on, what's wrong?
Now, Wayne.
Come on.
It's like you just insulted Wayne.
You absolutely did.
My goodness. Well,
where are these hot dogs? I like a good
Smithfield.
Hot dog.
They're on Smithfield, and their signature thing is that they're
not Smithfield, are they? I thought they were done.
Yeah, that's North Carolina.
No, it's a Smithfield. Yeah, okay. That's a Smithfield thing. And I've been out to their factory.
Red hot dogs.
They're because they're pork based, and they do the red dye. And I mean, they're good. I've been in the factory and all that stuff.
All right, back to the Broadleaf cigars.
Nice Sabret.
In dirty water.
Yeah,
that's how it has to be, right?
Of course, it's a Bronx dog.
Of course,
dirty water dogs.
Yeah.
Selling wet teddy bears.
So okay, that's where I was actually for a quick tangent. I mean, it's North Carolina.
Yeah,
it's tobacco, right?
Yeah,
I mean, we grow it here. Right. So what is it about North Carolina tobacco that might not lend itself to making a cigar? You mess with the Brightleaf, right?
So that's the thing. We tried to do it all North. You know, we tried to use it as a filler tobacco, but it's just not. It's a different seed. I mean. It's fire cured.
As opposed to what?
Cigar tobacco is air cured naturally. No fire, no added anything. The seeds are a little different. Obviously, the climate is similar, but the soils are different. But the cigars, the tobacco that's grown in like Nicaragua, when it's cropped, it's just hung in an open bar, and open doors, open windows. And it just dries.
It just dries naturally in the air.
Yeah, you don't have to.
You can tell they don't rush.
They don't rush anything.
Right, but here it's like in a
here
kiln.
It's rushed.
Like a kiln, right?
Yep, they put fire to it, burn it. So can it be crushed up and put into a cigarette? Yeah. Dip? Yes. Do you want to put that in a premium cigar? No, because it's already burnt.
Sure.
So we tried to smoke it just raw. And it kills your throat.
Puffing on a chimney.
It's like
I called you out for not knowing Brightleaf. I'm calling you out for saying cropped.
I knew Brightleaf. I was just saying cropped the hot dogs because it was funnier.
In Wake County, we call it primed when the tobacco is primed. We prime tobacco. We don't pick it. We don't crop it. We prime tobacco.
Yes.
But anyway, so were you using the Brightleaf for the roller?
So we were using it for the filler.
Really? Okay.
Well, not the whole filler. We would take one leaf because you couldn't use all of it.
Right, right.
So we take a dark wrapper leaf like that, right? But when you looked on the inside of the cigar, you could actually see a gold.
Yeah.
Look like a marble loaf.
Almost. You still have any of those? You still do those?
No, we haven't been able to get it. I'm trying to. I would love to redo that cigar. But I have to find.
But make it better.
Make it better. I have to find the right tobacco and then somehow get it to a factory in Nicaragua.
Were you buying it directly from local farmers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever leftover they had.
I'd hook you up with farmers, man.
Yeah, if they have the right. It's just got to be a certain color, you know? It's got to be really gold and pliable.
Yeah.
You know, so if I get my hands on it, it's definitely a project that I would love to do again.
So that was, you were originally doing that when you were making them here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've since obviously grown your business, and now you have factories not in the United States.
Yeah. So we grew out of rolling here. At that time, I rebranded to Amendola Family Cigars from Bull City. Obviously, Amendola is my last name. And it was just something to be more... Bull City kept us very local as a brand, sure. right? So with the Amendola name, it was something a little obviously more personal to me. Put my everything I had into this, and the goal is to take it more nationally, internationally, hopefully, whatever. And leave a, it was a legacy thing, right? But as we grew, I started working with other factories, first in the Dominican Republic and then Honduras. Honduras is where the Amendola brand really kind of started to take off. We left that factory end of 2019. We had a lot of high demand. Weren't completely satisfied with the outcome and the blends. And I felt like I was being taken advantage of a little bit with some tobacco. I wasn't getting the what I should be getting as far as quality. So we moved to Nicaragua. Now we're making cigars at Aganor Salif. And I say we, I brought a business partner on too early last year, and I got to give him credit, Chris Monaco. He really helped grow our sales force. But Aganor Salif, which makes cigars for a ton of people, Padron uses some of their tobacco. We make two blends with AJ Fernandez in Nicaragua and La Zona, Eric Espinoza.
So I feel like there is a good amount of crossover between, you know, the beer world and cigars.
Yeah,
I feel like that because I love cigars,
right.
And you're part of the reason why. But for those who don't know anything about it, but like when we have a coffee podcast, you know, we try to kind of break it down to basics. So if somebody is curious, they've always kind of liked the smell when they're walking past somebody, but they've never really learned. They've always just, you know, had a Swisher Sweet or yeah, Black right. and Mild or whatever back
what?
In the day.
Backwoods tobacco?
Yeah, you know.
White Owl Tipperilla.
What do people need to know? Can you give us kind of like a couple minute, like just Cigar 101 on, I guess, kind of what got, not what you got you into it, but what how you learned to appreciate cigars and how somebody else could kind of get yeah. started, what they should look for?
Yeah, I think, you know, basically, obviously, taste is subjective. Flavor profiles are all subjective. I just remember when I wanted to smoke cigars, I just started smoking.
And sounds about right.
Right? You know what I mean? So I feel like especially, you know, Cigar 101 would be like if you're interested in it and want to try it, you just have to start doing it.
But how should they start? What should they look for?
Buy an Amendola cigar.
Yeah, you definitely have to get an Amendola cigar.
Absolutely. But we have multiple types, right?
You've yeah, got Connecticut, you have mild, you've got medium. Yeah, so that's what's interesting, though. You could really... A lot of times people say as a beginner to start with a Connecticut. Our Connecticut, I probably wouldn't. Have you smoked the new Connecticut?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's not very mild.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not.
It's got a lot of
it's got a nice flavor.
Yeah.
But still, a Connecticut's a lighter smoke, right? In general.
Yeah, so in general, it's lighter.
When you say Connecticut, it's a lighter color.
Yep.
And it's...
They're traditionally more mild, so it's not... For a new smoker, it's not very, I don't say offensive. Because I know some people that will jump into a Maduro and be like, this is awesome. Like, this tastes really
so
good.
So it's interesting.
That would be me.
My wife's with us, but she's, of course, ordering another drink. Don't worry. Don't worry. I think she's not listening these days. I'll do another one of these
old
fashions here. It's delicious.
It is delicious.
But my wife wanted to start with something, quote, light.
Yeah.
Had a Connecticut and was like, this is kind of boring.
Yeah.
But she likes something with a little more flavor, a little more body to it. But she does like, we'll get to your specialty stuff. But just like the breakdown of basic styles, what should people know?
So this is what we do as a company. We blended three core blends for morning, noon, and night. Can they be smoked at any time of the day? Yes. But we designed our Connecticut cigar, which is traditionally a little more mild. It's a great morning time cigar. It's not crazy offensive. It's light, but got a lot of body to it. Our Naturale cigar, it's a Habano, Nicaraguan Puro. That's what
Wayne has, right?
That's a great, for me, any time of the day cigar. Yeah. It's a medium body cigar. And I think I always turn people onto that first. If they're like getting new, don't know about our brand, I would say smoke that one. It's a good intro. And then our Maturo, which I love, it tastes like chocolate and coffee, and it's full and dark and rich. That's a great after-dinner cigar, cocktail cigar, you know, whatever you want. Then there's some specialty stuff. You might find a really dark Maduro that has its own other profile completely. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to be a little more spicy or a little more stronger. You have some other wrapper tobacco makes up about 40% of the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. So when you look at a cigar, you go to pick out a cigar, it's important to know what kind of wrapper it is or have someone explain what it is, because that way you can kind of know how that cigar is going to, that profile of the cigar is going to be, okay. You know?
Now, the other thing I think is important to get into as well is, I mean, we talked about North Carolina leaf and why that might not necessarily work out for a cigar. You're using Nicaragua. There's also the Dominican Republic, Honduras. And then obviously people obsess over Cuban cigars, which I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's hard to get, you know, because of the embargoes and everything else. So when we start getting into different countries and different different leaves, how would your Maduro compared to one that's made from a leaf that's from the Dominican or one that's from Honduras?
Yeah, so actually what's interesting about this Maduro that we made, the factory that our blends are being produced at, they actually have their own farms.
Okay.
And they don't really sell to anyone else.
Okay.
So it's very different. I mean, their fermentation process is crazy. I mean, it goes through two or three different fermentations. Their big thing is they don't rush anything. Like when we talked about with North Carolina tobacco, they rush the process. This stuff is not rushed. It's ready when the tobacco's ready.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying?
Ales versus lagers, Joe.
What about Pilsners?
I've also learned that Nicaraguan tobacco is significantly different than Dominican because of the soil. A lot of the tobacco in Nicaragua where these are grown, it's volcanic soil.
Okay.
It's dark, very dark, rich, minerally.
Yeah, I mean, how you're growing it and the soil you're growing it, it's kind of like why I can't get a good North Carolina bagel.
Exactly.
Right? So there you go.
Exactly. Same concept. Dominican Republic does have great tobacco. Don't get me wrong. I love it.
I take that back. You can't get a good North Carolina bagel. But according to Gold, they don't stay. But that's another story altogether. But anyway, I'm just saying.
Back to cigars.
I would like to find a good bagel, though.
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
I'll tell you later.
Yeah. But I'm really actually honored to be working with these guys down there because they control the whole growing process.
Okay.
So it's like very different and unique if you compare this to another Maduro.
Do you know enough about it to kind of take us through the process? You said fermentation. When I think fermentation, I think alcohol or kimchi. So what's fermentation look like with tobacco?
I could take you through that. I'm not a farmer, so I don't know the whole, you know, growing process per se, but fermentation is basically after the tobacco's hung and dried, aged, they're stacked in what they call pilones. And literally they are, I mean, probably you see this area we're sitting at right here, right? It's a stack of tobacco tightly pressed, packed down, and they just, their ammonia comes out during that time.
Okay.
All the ammonias, if you ever had a cigar that tastes kind of grassy or usually means the tobacco's young, not it. So the fermentation is supposed to take out all that if you let it sit there long enough. I mean, you walk in a fermentation room and the smells is just some good, some bad, but it's the ammonia leaving. It's that young smell and bitter aromas leaving. The tobacco really sits there, and that's where all the natural flavors come out. There are some second fermentation processes might include, there might be a mixture of rums, sugars, molasses, fruit that are in there that the tobacco kind of absorbed through the process. It gives it that little bit of a sweet.
So that's done at the farm, or is that done at
the
factory?
Factories.
That's
the
done.
Factories.
It's done at the factory.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously before they're rolling.
So they have to ferment first. And
so they're getting the raw leaves.
Yeah, raw leaf.
At the factory. Mm-hmm. And then they treat them, they ferment, they treat them however they do.
Yep.
And then the rolling.
Yep. It takes as long as it takes. They have to wait till the tobacco's ready. I don't know the exact time.
I mean, when you...
Oh, I mean, months, a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a serious process. There's some factories, some rooms down there, they got tobacco that's been aged 5-10 years.
Wow.
Just sitting there ready or waiting to be used and put to use, you know?
These factories must be huge just from a storage standpoint.
The big ones are. I mean, there's some small factories that, you know, are doing maybe one or two brands, couple brands. But the ones that, I mean, these guys are making, I don't know, no, I mean, they're making millions of cigars a year.
I was going to say, let's talk numbers. I mean, right.
Like, they're producing my brand. I'm not making that many. You know, they're producing brands that do sell 3 million cigars a year. You know what I'm saying? So they have the space. They're set up for it. But, yeah, the fermentation, it's a very interesting process. I've seen it a few times. It's been a long time. I actually can't wait to get back down there. We're supposed to be in Nicaragua last year. Couldn't get down there, obviously, mm-hmm. So we're waiting to get back down there to really go through the whole tobacco process and reblend.
So how do cigars and beer go together?
Great question.
Because you're having an old-fashioned. Yeah. I'm about to have an old-fashioned after I had a Paloma. I saw the Paloma. I can't resist a Paloma. So especially it's warm again back in North Carolina. So how do beer and cigars go together?
Yeah, I think what's... interesting about beer, especially microbrew.
Yeah.
Breweries like Mason Jar that is making their own beer. It's a similar concept with the boutique cigar industry, right?
Okay.
Like for a guy like me, like I'm not mass producing cigars. Some microbrews aren't mass producing beer. So the whole artisanal concept is appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a artisanal standpoint of, you know, you guys are making beer, I'm making cigars, put the two together, I'm sure you're going to find a good pairing in there. It's, you know, with one of the beer, a certain beer,
sure,
a certain blend.
So what I've found, my Saturday evening, when I don't have an event going on in the brewery, my Saturday evening routine with Bridge and me, we like to sit on the screen porch, have a couple beers, and smoke a cigar. And I'll have any number of different beers, but
how many?
Different types.
Oh, yeah.
Different types. Responsibly, of course.
You're at home. You don't have to be responsible.
Yeah, but what? But like in the wintertime, I really like a big malty beer and a really dark, leathery, you know,
I was going to say
chocolatey
that.
Cigar.
Yeah, like that's this cigar that we're smoking right now. I would want something like you just described.
Mm, yeah,
typically.
Yeah.
Summertime, maybe not. I probably want something a little
so
lighter.
So do you find that you... Like we were talking before we started recording. We were talking bourbon a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you and I are very similar that we don't drink bourbon neat in the warmer months.
Right.
But we'll have an old-fashioned.
Absolutely.
Or some other bourbon-based cocktail.
Yep.
Do you find that you change your smoking habits in the warmer months, too?
I do, actually. It's funny you say that. Like, this, I probably... Yeah, I like to smoke lighter in the summertime, especially when I'm outside.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, the heat, the sun. At nighttime, however, sun goes down, I might do, you know, a nice Maturo. But, yeah, typically summer months, I want something lighter. Habano, Connecticut. I do Maduro still, but
my dad will dip. My dad will dip a Cuban cigar or any old cigar in coffee just because. He's weird.
Coffee.
In coffee. He'll just dip it.
I do love cigars and coffee.
Yeah. That was the other pairing that I was thinking about. Well, it's funny because cigars can go with whatever you want, depending on the cigar. I mean, when I was growing up, my dad and his buddies, mainly his best friend Leo, they would smoke cigars and drink cognac.
Yeah, of course.
You know that's what they would do.
That's a thing.
They would get the XO. Or if they were really fancy, they get that Louis the whatever.
Wait, oh, never mind.
What? It's really, I mean,
but that's what they would go after that.
I know guys that don't drink alcohol, and
dad would always drink a cognac.
They love Coca-Cola or a root beer with a
cigar. That makes sense. All that sweetness, there's a balance there, mm-hmm. Right?
I don't drink a lot of soda, so I don't really do that, but it does make sense. I mean,
Scotch and Splenda.
All right, so I got a question. Because I was asking,
tastes like Splenda, get you drunk like Scotch.
Woo. I was asking these guys before. I guess before you got here, could have been here anyway. So I grew up on a tobacco pig and cattle farm in Holly Springs. I started smoking at a very young age. I smoked a good portion of my life. I quit 20 years ago.
Were you priming tobacco?
I was priming tobacco. I was curing tobacco. I was doing everything you do with tobacco.
Yeah.
But I was also inhaling the cigarettes. Yeah. So do you, as a cigar manufacturer, boutique cigar manufacturer, and a cigar smoker, do you inhale your cigars?
I never do.
You never do?
But I do retrohale. You know what that is?
I do not.
Oh, really?
Is that the second? Is that the?
No, you got to put it through your nose. Actually,
through your nose.
Through
your nose.
Okay, well. When we're testing blends.
So yeah. How does one do that?
You
take
have
us through
to
a
do
training.
That. Because you taste everything in your face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I thought you were supposed to inhale cigars.
This is good. This is going to be fun. What?
I thought you weren't supposed to inhale cigars.
You don't.
Right. That's what I thought.
So,
yeah.
But that's what I said before you, having grown up a cigarette smoker and inhaling, I told you, but I got burned severely in 2010. And before that, I was smoking 5-6 cigars a day. And then since then, this is the fourth
Wayne
one.
Wayne does nothing halfway. Right. You haven't noticed this.
Did you scorch your lungs? Like, what did you do?
I don't know. But anyway, I quit smoking cigarettes, and then I started smoking cigars.
Okay.
So I quit smoking cigarettes in 01.
Left-handed cigarettes.
I never quit that. No, I actually did quit that, too. But I went in hell.
Yeah.
So.
See, I never smoked cigarettes. I never really had to turn off, turn on.
I can't inhale. That's my
Well,
issue.
I mean, I've been smoking this one, and I've inhaled a couple times just to get the taste of it.
Okay, well, you're on the right track. You just don't want to inhale it in your lungs.
No.
You want to, we got to retrohale.
Yeah, you got to teach us how to do this.
That's easy, man. I need some fire.
So you puff on the cigar, get the smoke, right?
Yeah.
I let a little bit out of my mouth.
Yeah.
But the rest I push through my nose.
Yeah.
I will demonstrate.
He's demonstrating a little puff. Let it out. There you go. Just a little bit.
So what does that do? Obviously, it goes straight to your brain.
Just like when you drink a beer.
I could see the eyes.
Yeah.
When you drink a beer, what do you do? When you taste a new beer.
Sure.
Yeah, but here.
That right there.
Yeah.
I just tasted everything that's in there. I taste cinnamon.
Yep.
Wood. Nutmeg.
Horse blanket. No, just kidding. That's.
A little bit of horse.
It's not a Brett cigar.
Here's the problem with that. A little bit of farm.
Like,
sure.
You know what I'm saying? Here's the problem with that. It'll mess you up.
Oh, yeah. You got to ease in. This is the strongest cigar to do it with.
Yeah.
I still do it maybe 3-4 times throughout the cigar.
So just to. I think that's the other interesting part about cigars, and this is where high school me did not realize this.
Yeah. Black and Mild story. Everybody's got
no,
one.
No. Dude, I never drank Black and Milds because I had my dad giving me cigars back in the day. So, what was funny is that I would go to a high school party.
Great song.
I tell you, it's been a great soundtrack.
What's Cam played right now? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Great song.
So, back in high school, my dad would give me a cigar to be like the cool guy at a party.
Hey guys, back in high school.
Right. No, Wayne, that's your voice.
Cool Joe's got a story.
No, it's not a Cool Joe story. I did not realize it was a thing. My friends would smoke cigarettes like fiends. I mean, it is. But they would get hyped for a cigar because it would give them a different buzz.
Yeah.
So what is the buzz that you get from a cigar? People might not realize this. It's very dangerous to combine cigars and alcohol because if you're not careful, you will have the worst hangover you will ever have. Because not only are you...
I've never experienced that.
No. I've had my worst hangovers from cigars.
I think it affects everyone. Because look, I smoke...
You smoke a lot more cigars than I do.
I'll smoke 3 cigars in a night.
But how much booze are you having with it?
I'm drinking.
Drinking?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm drinking bourbon.
Dude, some of the worst cigars I've ever had, or some of the worst hangovers I've ever had, have come with cigars along with everything else.
It honestly depends on the cigar,
okay.
The tobacco.
And the alcohol intake.
And what you're drinking.
I'm drinking crap.
And
at
your
that
status.
Point.
Amateur status.
Mm. That's part of it.
You're not used to smoking, so you're not sleeping well either.
No, that
affects it too.
Yeah, but look. I mean, I'm not saying I have a problem or anything. But, you know, there's some nights. I mean, it's just steadily sipping.
Sure.
Over the course of three cigars, it turns into.
It probably had more to do with the fact that I was mixing things that I should not have been mixing.
Mixing is you can't do that. I don't do that.
I used to do that.
Messed up.
I've moved on from that. Now,
if I stay in my lane.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And I'm good with it.
Yeah.
You know.
No, that's what you got to do. That's old man status right there.
Cigars can give you, and when you retrohale, I feel a little.
Sure.
Buzz yeah, off that. You. Because
so where's that right buzz coming from? Why Especially does it hit, why does it hit you differently than cigarettes?
Well, yeah. So first of all, I mean.
Or even weed for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, the main thing is this is 100% tobacco. It's 100% natural. It's leaf. It's 100% leaf.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, that's why I say artisanal. It's very, it's crafted by hand. It's one ingredient.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay. So that's the biggest difference. So you're getting a lot more tobacco, obviously. Cigarettes, what percentage of tobacco is actually in cigarettes after it's all said and done?
A lot of paper, right?
It's a lot of paper, but they add all this other stuff to it. So you get all that crap. That changes it. But when you retrohale too, though, that the tobacco and the smoke goes right to your senses and your nose, your smell, and your head. So it gives you a little nice little buzz.
Okay,
it affects people differently, though. I like I said, I smoke 3-4 cigars a day. I don't always get that buzz. It depends on the cigar or how I'm feeling that day. But.
So I got a question for you about the business of cigars in North Carolina and smoke shops. So what's the North Carolina laws on smoke shops now? You have to be independent, freestanding to be able to smoke inside or
smoke inside. Yeah,
yeah.
Unless you're grandfathered in, right?
In 2012, they passed that law. If you were already a cigar smoking establishment before 2008, you would be grandfathered in. Otherwise, you have to have a standalone building. You have to be a private club, like membership.
Oh, wow.
Yep. Can't serve food. Can't make food in there.
Alcohol? Obviously, I mean,
you could do alcohol. Yeah, you could do alcohol
inside.
If all the other steps are right.
Right.
If you're a private club, freestanding, you gotta have the right ventilation too from the city to approve.
How many of those actually exist in this area?
Well, you got a place
there's
like,
only one right now.
Right now, I think Havana Deluxe is probably.
Well, you got the one in Apex down there at 64 Apex. And Salem
Street.
Yeah,
but they don't have a bar. They don't
serve alcohol. No,
yeah. There's only one cigar bar in Raleigh right now, and that's Havana.
Yeah, Havana's been doing it for a really, really long time.
So they have alcohol in.
Havana Deluxe was one of the original private Glenwood South clubs.
Okay.
I mean, Havana Deluxe has been open for. Damn, 20 years,
so
right?
It's grandfathered in. So it's not in a freestanding building.
No, it's not in a freestanding building. It's actually attached to, you know, where the Armadillo Grill and all that stuff is?
Yeah.
So that's where it's Havana Deluxe is.
Okay.
It's Lucky in a little nook. And it's been, back by where Baseball Tagovins Club is.
Yeah.
So Havana is the only one. You can go to other places, like shout out to Reese and K-Mac from the sports shop, where they got Virgin Cigars.
Well, they just went all private.
They're all private now?
Yeah, you can't just go in there and smoke.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Yeah. I think it's $150, $200 a month.
Oh, what? Wow.
If you're not a member, you can't smoke in there.
Wow. Damn,
you can buy cigars and leave.
Oh, yeah, you can buy cigars and leave. Right, okay.
Yeah, $150 to $200 a month to be able to hang out. Because I know that there's the place in Apex.
Apex Cigar Lounge. That's a cool spot.
Down by 64.
The one up at High House in 55. Is it still there?
Oh, yeah, that's off old Apex.
I don't know.
By the Food Lion? Oh, no. You're
by
talking
Walmart
by Highcraft.
By Highcraft, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that K&S or K&S, something?
K&S. Oh, K&S.
Are they still there?
They're still there.
I used to go. They had a buddy that every day at 11 o'clock, his wife made tons of money. He didn't work. The kid was in school. Every day at 11 o'clock, he'd go there, and he'd smoke for a couple hours, 3 hours. Then he'd go pick the kid up from school and take him home. And I would meet him occasionally when I lived over in the Preston area. And you know, it was just a little bitty room with a great ventilation system that could seat maybe 10 people.
Yeah, 8, 10 people.
Yeah.
That's still there.
Oh, I haven't been there forever.
The other one is the meat locker at the Angus Barn.
Oh, yeah, and I have been in there.
That's a fun experience.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's usually my Monday night spot, just to go have a drink
Van
and a cigar.
Does it right if she does it, so.
Yeah, and they sell Amendola family cigars there.
Nice.
So that's a great spot. I was actually looking to get back in the lounge business. And trying to find a standalone building in Raleigh or Durham.
Any luck?
We had one. Landlords backed out last minute. They didn't want to deal with the smoke. So we're looking at a couple different things now. Kind of have to, do some
How
more
How big a space would you
research.
Be looking for something like that?
You know, It doesn't have to be crazy big. I think the spot we were looking at was about 1,800 square feet.
Were you going retail? Yeah, obviously. Were you going retail to
the
public?
Yeah, so it was going to be a cigar factory. Where
yeah, that's like going to a microbrewery, right?
Like, it'd be like a microbrewery for cigars.
Really, so you still actually roll some?
Yeah, roll, yeah. Okay. So my plan was to set up two tables in there, have me train someone else. So we'll promote that. All right, we're rolling fresh cigars Monday, Thursday, Friday, or Thursday, Friday, whatever. Right, so you could come in, see, like, turn the light on, like the donuts.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
The donut light. Fresh cigars are being made.
Fresh
right?
rolls.
But you walk in, there's a humidor, we'll sell cigars, make cigars, have a bar, and have the lounge experience as well. Kind of all three in one, you know,
sure.
to give that. But yeah, it's been really hard in Raleigh. Durham had one called Whiskey.
Yeah.
Oh, you remember that?
I vaguely remember Whiskey.
So that building is for sale.
Okay.
Which is interesting because it's grandfathered in.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You got news to break? Like, what are you?
Not yet.
All right.
No, but
all right.
It's an option.
Wayne usually breaks the news on the podcast.
I had a cigar bar in Durham. I had a lounge in Durham for a while. But
what about your mobile idea? Any legs on that?
Well, I know a guy that
Should
has a mobile.
Should we not talk about it?
No, we can talk about it. I think
because I think
it's
that's
a
really, really cool, almost like a food truck.
It is.
I think that's a really cool idea.
I have somebody that built out an Airstream, 36 foot.
Wow.
Hardwood floors, red leather wraparound seating, two TVs, wet bar, cigar humidor in the Airstream. And he's trying to get rid of it or have someone run it. And he called me, and I'm like, I would love to do that. However, it's so big.
Yeah.
I don't know how to move that around or where to store it.
Yeah, F-350.
It'd almost be like I have to find somewhere to park it and leave it
right,
there, and that's
yeah.
my store.
But you know the cool I mean? Thing would be if you take it to places and have, like, once a week or once a month, you're at these spots.
How much is
like,
he
basically
for
like
it?
You do at our place.
Yeah.
But if you'd show up, like, you've got your lounge and everything's there. But
I know.
Hauling that thing is a pain.
That's,
I get it.
And I'm kind of teetering.
But it's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's a great idea because nobody's doing that right
now. I know.
Now.
I'm still teetering on that. It's just, yeah, I got to buy a truck. I got to find somewhere to park it.
But I like the idea of like a permanent location for it, though.
I do like
cool.
that, too.
I like the idea of rotating it, though, like a food
truck.
Yeah,
but then there's you come into moving it. Yeah.
Sure, exactly.
And
but
where can you put it?
I know.
Yeah, storage and things like
I
that.
I thought even, see, Kenny, I even thought of here. I was like, man, what if I could just park it? No, it's not even big enough.
No.
I thought about the mason jar. It'd be a great location.
Yeah, well, you reached out about it, and I was like, man.
You got space.
If you treat that thing like a food truck, like,
that's kinda,
and get a rotation down, like, it could be a really cool thing.
Oh, there's no question about it.
Yeah, I would make that a thing. It's just, it's a lot. It would add a lot to
sure.
my plate.
I get it.
Do Adam
I,
knows I, nothing about
Do I like
plates.
That idea?
As someone who likes adding stuff to his plate, I get it. You talked about rolling.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I really people really enjoy because it's people who don't even like cigar or don't consider themselves cigar smokers. When somebody's, quote, rolling cigars at an event, they want to come out and see it, and they'll probably buy one.
Absolutely.
But you and I have had conversations. When you roll a cigar fresh, it's I compare it to the difference between a drinking a regular beer and a fresh hop or a wet hop beer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You're getting a different flavor smoking a freshly rolled cigar. You want to talk about that
it's
for a
different
second?
Experience. Yes. It's a different experience. I like it because I like to see the difference of the contrast. When you roll a fresh cigar, obviously it's going to be a little bit more, you know, have that wrapper might be a little bit wet, but it's going to be like this fresh, maybe a little softer, but
I think it's a little more earthy.
A little earthy. I agree. But it's just almost like you get some raw flavor out of there. That's different. I like that.
And it'll draw a crowd, too, because Asterisk down in Fuquay, many, many years ago, when they first started carrying cigars, and I was really into it, they had a roller there one night.
Oh, really?
That place was packed.
I mean, this has probably been 12 or 15 years ago.
Wow.
But it was absolutely packed in there. And he was obviously, you can't smoke in a clothing store, but they sure rolled him up in there.
Yeah,
and,
but man, it draws a crowd. People appreciate it.
Oh, man, I went. So, it was cool.
Cinco de Mayo at Mason Jar.
Yeah.
Jeff's coming out.
We'll be rolling cigars.
He rolls cigars.
Yeah, man, I'll be rolling cigars that night.
I'm a carry boy now, man. I can't get over it if you quit.
He comes out every Father's Day. Every Father's Day that Sunday afternoon and rolls cigars.
You give me a ride back home? I can't ride an Uber yet.
It's a cool experience.
You can sleep in the cigar bus.
Oh, yeah.
You sleep in the Airstream.
Yeah. I like it.
It's got a bathroom in there, too.
So I've got a question. You know, we've talked about the whole cigars in North Carolina. If we're comparing things to beer, which ultimately I think that's kind of responsible for us to talk about, we talk about craft beer versus, like, big beer, right? Yep. Like us versus, like, AB InBev or Miller Coors, that kind of thing.
Right.
When you – and inevitably you're going to be lumped into this, the tobacco world – do you consider yourself, like, or I guess how do you feel about when you are lumped into tobacco and, quote, big tobacco, like, you know, Philip Morris.
R.J. Reynolds.
R.J. Reynolds and these guys who are just pumping out cigarettes. Do you get frustrated that you're kind of considered in the same group as those guys? Because I don't look at cigars in the same light as I do cigarettes. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I get more frustrated with the FDA requirements of it all from a government red tape standpoint, because we get lumped in with, like you just said, all tobacco, which cigars are completely different. Cigarettes are machine made. Millions of cigarettes are made like every 5 minutes.
Sure.
You know, that's not what we do. Yeah, it's frustrating. I don't like it. But we have to deal that. What's more frustrating, we also have to deal with FDA regulations because of it. And they lump cigars that is a handmade artisanal product and man-made item that gets lumped into all this big tobacco with this stereotype, and it's two completely different things.
So, a question for you right there. I want to clarify something you said. So, even though you are using a factory out of the United States, these are still hand-rolled?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, wow. Oh. It's like contract brewing. It's,
yeah.
Well, yeah.
Think about it that way, right? Like, he's got the recipes.
Oh, I get it.
I come with the blends, the tobacco I want, and they say they can do it or not. Mm-hmm. But everything, I mean, from nothing. Now, there are some cigar factories that use machines.
Sure.
But they're the ones that are, they're doing 50
they're
million cigars a year.
The one Adam was talking
looking
about.
Looking at you, Acid.
Yeah. But, I mean, traditionally, I mean, how we're doing it, it is from, you know, they say at least 200 hands go into making every single cigar.
Wow.
200 hands touch all the tobacco that goes into one cigar from
I think we
farming,
lost Joe over there.
No, I'm good.
Farming, growing, priming, fermenting, sorting, aging, putting the blends together. Rolling, packaging, boxing, and putting it on a container to the U.S., about 200 hands.
And a cigar's probably got, I mean, a cigarette probably has 20.
Yeah, if that.
If that.
If that.
Well, I mean, you're touching it in the field, somebody's packing it at the barn, yeah, you're taking it out, going to the cell, but yeah. Once it leaves the cell.
All of it's on the front end of that.
It is.
All,
oh, yeah. Once it leaves the tobacco market, it's all machine pushed point on.
Yeah. So before we wrap things up.
Wait, I've got a couple more, Joe.
Well, right. I'm just saying we need to wrap things up. So let's do a little rapid fire here. What you got, Adam?
No, I was just making sure our time's okay. This is early. This is good Saturday morning stuff.
Well, yeah, but we do have a time limit. Just saying. Got commercials to run. That
sort
of thing.
Pay the bills.
Right. Yeah. You think this podcast is free?
We're wasting time right now, Joe.
Okay. So, yeah. Before we wrap things up, I don't think we've actually asked, where can we get your cigars?
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know, that's at this point, I don't even... well, we have a couple online stores that sell our product. AtlanticCigars.com, FrontlineCigars.com, VSRCigarFam.com, BestCigarPrices.com. Really, you have to Google Amendola Family Cigars.
Okay.
All that will come up. As far as locally, some of our key local retail markets are Virgin Cigars in Raleigh, Angus Barn in Raleigh, Watson Ward, where we are tonight, we'll have them back eventually.
Yeah.
Where else are we in the area? Bottle Shop, Sam's Bottle Shop in Durham. There's a couple smoke shops in Fuquay, actually. Raleigh, Durham, that sell our product.
Okay.
But if you go, best way is to go to, I should have said this in the beginning, but AmendolaFamilyCigars.com. We have all our retailers and
gotcha.
How to find us on there.
I just want to cover one thing.
Yeah.
Well, a couple things. We've talked about your core stuff, okay? But you've got some specialty stuff that you do intermittently,
yeah.
Right? You do some cool stuff. You age some of your tobacco, some of your leaves, you age in different things.
Yep.
Right? You've got some bourbon barrel-aged yep. cigars. We love bourbon barrel-aged beers. Your bourbon right. barrel-aged cigars are really cool. You've aged cigars in pipe tobacco. Those are my wife's absolute favorite.
Sugar tip.
And you haven't tobacco. Had them in forever, and Sweet I hear Carolina. About it every time you come Cinco to the
Mayo.
Brewery.
Coming soon.
Oh, man. But you've also, you've got your cannoli, which you haven't had out for a while.
Yeah, that actually just left the factory yesterday.
Really? So cannolis are coming back.
Cannolis
so tell
are
us,
coming back.
Can you tell us about what's so special about that, and then tell us about your other, like, niche stuff?
Yeah. So the cannolis were a line. We were sitting, me and my business partner, Chris, were sitting in his man cave one night smoking what is the cannoli now. And it was like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But he's like, man, this tastes like a little cannoli, like, has this like after dinner dessert type of flavor, allspice, full but
because
sweet.
You probably had two of them and you guys were that, knocked
exactly
down.
What it was.
Because that cigar will knock you down.
At 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah. We had a lot of cannolis.
That's what I'm getting up.
That's one of the best cigars, man. That is if you like a full flavored,
full-bodied cigar,
like that is the one.
So we're actually making two new Vitolas in that, two new blends, same size. One's going to be a Sumatra wrapper. And a Connecticut wrapper.
So a dark and a light.
Yeah. Well, a light, a medium, and a dark.
Oh, okay.
Because gotcha. With the original.
Okay, and, so you're going to keep the original.
Yeah, and actually the colors, you know, we're Italian heritage, and our brand is richly based on that Italian heritage. So the color of the boxes and the footbands on the cannolis are green, white, red. So if you put them on a shelf in a store, you see the Italian flag. That's kind of a little, you know, cool thing with that. And what you were talking about before, yeah, the bourbon barrel-aged cigar, I do a couple times a year. I bring them out to the Mason Jar a lot.
They sell out in about
private,
15 minutes.
Yeah, I do that for special events only or a couple private, you know, orders. Sweet Carolina, Asian pipe tobacco.
I've Those done are some so with rum. Unique.
Yeah.
So pipe tobacco, what's the difference between pipe tobacco and cigar tobacco?
You know, pipe tobacco could be any tobacco, technically. It's just how it's cooked.
You need
and it's flavored.
You also need a Sunday paper, some slippers.
Yeah.
While you smoke that.
Yeah.
I bet Adam has all that. I mean, have you seen his sweatpant collection?
I'm actually surprised he's wearing real pants.
I know, right?
They're linen.
And nice shoes,
They're
too.
They're linen. So, but those
as fitsy as you are, yeah, I'm not surprised.
I'm holding it down.
Gotta
right
keep the
now.
Boys cool.
My wife loves, absolutely, like, that's her go-to when you have them, that pipe tobacco. And you dip them in sugar.
Yeah, they're sugar tipped. Yep.
What does that mean?
I found a certain liquid sugar that will adhere to the tobacco. I went through a lot of them. And a lot of them don't work. But I found one where after we roll them, we just kind of dip them in there and let them dry. And the tobacco holds that sugar. So when you smoke it, you taste sugar.
It tastes like dessert.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You have a cannoli and... Bridge and I have what do we call that? We call them beignets.
That's right.
Yeah, we call them beignets because it tastes like powdered sugar.
It tastes like powdered sugar, right?
It's really delicious
with the sugar,
it's a great
the aromas.
Cigar.
Yeah.
Wayne and I are just refraining. Anyway, all right.
She likes
Look,
the
man,
sugar.
I'm talking like beignets. Great things that my wife and I get to connect on, and beignets. You guys are just going there.
Beignets. Old sugar tips.
Well, yeah. Then we the last two blends we have are signature line. We have the Padrino.
Family show, Joe.
The Padrino, which you like, right?
I like all of them.
Yeah.
I haven't had an Amendola that I wouldn't have again.
Well, thank you.
Well, Jeff, thanks for bringing these all out, and fun night with the old fashions and smoking cigars and things like that.
Great time.
We'll have to do this again.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do it at Mason Jar. We'll pair these with beer next time.
A little follow-up.
He's a big fan of the Luchador, as
I
are
love
you.
The Luchador.
That's a good beer.
That's what I prefer to drink
when
I smoke.
That's a fantastic beer. Well, let's going to wrap it up for this edition of the 919 Beer Podcast, where we talked a little bit about beer, mostly cigars. Shout out to House of Hops for sponsoring the 919 Beer Podcast. They got their three locations. They got two in Raleigh, one in Pittsburgh. Check them out online. They got 24 beers on tap. You can order online. They got curbside pickup. They got all the COVID protocols. You can come on in, pick out your stuff. It's just good stuff all around. What do we got coming up next week?
Linwood. We're going to revisit Linwood.
Are we going to Linwood?
I would like to go to Linwood if you can leave the premises.
I mean, yeah.
I mean that's just down the street.
It's a mile from the studio.
That is my office.
I would love to be able to go to Linwood.
Yeah, we'll go to Linwood.
Bill is all about having us next week.
All right, we'll go out to Linwood next week then. See you then.
We got a bunch of stuff coming up.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.